Chapter 47. The Musical, Intermission, and Act 4. When you look through plain glass, you see people. But if you cover it with silver, you stop seeing others and see only yourself. Ancient proverb. Now, Lena's musical had its humor, gore, action, and suspense. But romance was at a bare minimum, or less. The audience, as they often do when something they desire is missing, filled in between the lines. Every companionable moment, eye to eye or flesh to flesh or glove to sleeve contact, was construed to imply some form of love interest, reality confused with fantasy. Or was it the other way around? Well, the real part of reality was about to hit the fan part of fantasy. Intermission. The minute they were safely out of earshot of the audience, Lena lashed out at Gowrie and Zelos. Okay, you two, if I find out you got some kind of bet going on, I'm going to pound your brains into paste. Which reminds me, Amelia! I've got snacks right here, Miss Lena, and drinks in the cooler. Amelia said in a timely manner. Lena dove for a donut, declaring it cool. Milk? Gowrie tossed her a carton. Sure. Lena decided to drop the topic, for the time being. In light of alternative things to do. What makes you think anything's going on? Unfortunately, Zelos decided to keep the hot topic on the front burner. We were just appealing to the audience by spicing things up a bit, right, Gowrie? Gowrie wouldn't meet his eyes. Some things were better left unsaid, including most of what was going through his head at the moment. Like, donut. What are you guys talking about? Philia asked. Having spent most of her time backstage helping out, she had missed the latest competition for Lena's heart. What's going on? You're curious about what's going on? I'd like to know what was going on, too. All I know is that I've been kissed more in the last hour than in the previous year, and it wasn't in the script, Lena snapped. Gowrie was concentrating on his next donut, conveniently out of the discussion. So, Amelia filled in. Both Mr. Zelos and Mr. Gowrie kissed Miss Lena on stage, in front of everybody. It was so romantic. You could hear the crowd really getting into it. I want them to get into the story. I want them to get the Monster Syndicate thing, damn it. There you are. Lena spun around, the color draining from her face at the same time. Luna! Milgazio? We would have gotten here sooner, but we wanted to wait around for our man's breakdown and his complete tale. Luna smiled. Musical's moving along nicely, I take it. Lena just nodded mutely. Who let you backstage? Zelgadas asked warmly as he strode to greet them. Must have been my persuasive personality. Luna matched him smirk for smirk. Val and Zelos closed in, Zelos asking, Slate, you interrogated him? Did he do it? Val asked excitedly. Mr. Slate? Amelia couldn't recall where she'd heard his name before. Do we have time to go into this now? Milgazia inquired of Lena. Yeah, sure. The longer the break, the more refreshments we sell. Spill it. Luna ripped through a short genealogy of Milgazia's family for the benefit of Amelia, and then briskly touched on the key elements of her big news. While helping me sort through and review some of that data you all recovered last summer, Zelos decoded and opened some previously thought to be damaged files. We uncovered a clan syndicate tie to steal all the ancient land wealth, resources. Wow, Lena caught Val's eyes. Close call, huh? Yeah, which is why I wanted to search that lookout place to find some substantiation. Mill and I located the old building on some really old maps and... Val, you're talking about that place you took me for Valentine's Day, right? Philia asked. Then that box I found contained the evidence for all this? What about Mrs. Saunders? I'll get to her. Val settled Philia down with a smile, and then continued. You see, Zealous and Zell decoded most of the records from that box that fell out of the bed. Silphiel jabbed at Philia teasingly. You didn't tell me you guys were, like, fooling around up there. Huh? Oh, no, nothing like that. Oh, shut up, Silphiel. Philia ended with a grin, and both girls started giggling, both hanging on one of Val's arms. Getting back to my story, Val raised his voice to stifle their silliness. Ah, shit, Zell, you tell it. They'll listen to you. All right, but I'll tell it once, so if you're interested. Zell closed his eyes and waited until the tittering had ceased. Good. What we understood from the deciphered text verified the clan syndicate tie Luna and Zelos had discovered. It was more recent than they had supposed. We also did the fingerprint checks. That's how we found out that Mrs. Saunders had owned the safety box you found. Of course, it had been stolen from her, but she was more than happy to play the bad guy and pretend to be caught. Zelgadis explained until he was out of breath. Val nodded. Yeah, she was our diversion. Once word got out that we weren't looking for the snoop, the guy sent word via our mole, Gilles. Hey, Gilles, guess he's gotta go to the John. Anyway, we made like we were leaking stuff, and Gilles passed the communique the dude wrote to the syndicate back to us, and we fed back instructions to the mystery dude. See, we still didn't know who it was. We couldn't trace him. So we drummed up some directions and told the dude to go back up to the lookout and get back to work. Val grinned. The asshole did, and McGuinn and his posse were waiting for him. Getting restless from an excess of adrenaline and his ADD condition, which was currently 100% unmedicated, made waiting for the telling almost too much for Zelos to stand. So, what was Slate up to? He asked urgently. Luna put a hand on his shoulder. Steady, boy, and I'll tell you. Lena wondered at that. He calmed noticeably under her care. His breathing slowed and his busy hands steadied. An almost serene expression graced his face. Lena guessed that her sister must have found some secret off-button pressure point near his neck and decided that would be a useful trick to learn. Okay, knight. Zelos sighed contentedly. Would you like a turn at this? Luna deferred to Milgazia. It was his brother-in-law, after all. Well, it seems Slate's link with the syndicate was very, let's say, weak. Mostly, he just wanted to establish that there was a leak and that it was my clan, making me responsible. Why me, you ask? Because his plan was to ruin my reputation, then unseat me in order to take over the clan. All that so he could get his hands on the ancient lands. Apparently, he was under the false notion, as were all the clans and the syndicate too, I suppose, that I had control of Val's ancient clan inheritance. In fact, he said that it is largely accepted that I was and am currently the overseer of his land grants and resources, and that I withheld the power and financial returns from Val. Milgazia smiled and shook his head. That ain't true, Val assured everybody. But he advises me, and... Val's turn to sport a knowing grin. We drew up a bunch of bogus papers making it look like I gave most of my stuff up to Mill, so folks would leave me alone. Guess it worked. And backfired on Milgazia, Luna noted. To Slate's credit, he wasn't the slimeball I took him for at first. Although he was working with the Syndicate in a way, he didn't turn over any information of consequence to them. Also, he wasn't going about it in a way that would have gotten Val kicked out of the clan and his inheritance confiscated. The worst thing I can think of that he did was to compromise the security of the clan.
Why was Slate using Gilas?
Amelia asked.
Mine.
Zelos claimed his turn to share.
Both Gilas and Gravos were small-time jobbers for the Syndicate, especially in summer. Remember last summer? They were on the ancient territory and found Val before us. That's when Slate learned of them. Once they were working in the area, word got out, and they would have been chased off. But then we got there, and, well, they left when we did, saving the clan out there the trouble. Now Slate and the others knew about the ancient clan inheritance sitting there waiting, and with no survivors to control it all. He and his cronies of clan leaders out that way were the default owners.
Zelos bowed to Val dramatically and went on. Val, when they learned about you, whoosh, bye-bye, Easy Street. When Milgazia was recovering from his broken legs in the hospital, he met his wife-to-be, who, I must put in here, was the only person in that entire territory who showed me any kindness. Anyway, he was trying to drum up some help from the locals to unearth, so to speak, Val, and that's when they learned of Val's existence.
Yes, Milgazia inserted. She was like an angel then. Still is.
He cleared his throat with embarrassment. He wasn't a man to emote like that.
Unfortunately, when word got out about Val, Slate and his colleagues assembled and formed a plan. The plan which has now been unfolded.
There are changes in the clan hierarchy occurring at this very moment, Luna added, and more to come. The repercussions from this will take a long time to unfold all the intrigues. I'm certain of it.
5 more minutes. Oh, you have company. Hello, I'm Daniel Grouchera, Seyrun High School principal. And you are?
Luna Inverse, Lena's sister and the Knight of Seafeed. Nice place.
Knight of... Oh, yes, very nice. Plenty of space.
He shook her hand and smiled in a friendly manner. Then his eyes roved over to the other stranger.
Luna stared at him. This is the current leader of the Syndicate? I believe we have won the war.
Milgazia, Seafeed Believer's clan leader. Nice to meet you at last. Zelos has mentioned the good job you've been doing at the school.
He has? Well, I have been enjoying it here.
Nice town. Seyrun is further south than I'm used to.
Northern boy, eh?
Luna asked. She could swear he didn't know what her position stood for.
That's right. I was feeling a bit, well, trapped up north. When I heard of this job opening, I jumped at the chance.
So did Luna. How did you hear about that job opening?
Teaching Administrator's newsletter. Lists them all. Last spring, this position came up. The principal had died in an accident.
You are aware that was Zelos' mother.
Oh, yes, he told me about that. Sad loss.
No, it wasn't. Luna corrected him. She wasn't dead. She was hiding.
No?
Luna glanced over to Zelos.
What happened then?
Luna rolled her eyes. What Lena had told her was right. Either he was a clever actor or a clueless idiot.
I killed her and Daddy in one blow last summer. Summertime, the living is easy.
Zelos began to sing. Not really, Lena muttered. So did you ever find your assistant, Shira?
Why, yes, I saw her. Funny thing that was, too. She was walking off with an older man. Seen him around, but I don't know his name. He works for you, maybe?
Rodimus? Zell asked. How unlikely.
could be, but like I said, I don't know his name.
Daniel said. Zell checked his watch.
Lena. She nodded. That 5 minutes is about up, and some of us need to change clothes, so if you will all excuse us.
Heading the refreshment stand crew were the girls from the sailing club. Bunny, busy with the popcorn machine, didn't notice the tall woman in an evening dress enter the building. But her friends Amy and Ray did.
Psst, Ray, isn't that barrel lady from Atlas City?
Oh my gods, Bunny over there!
Ray pointed with excitement. Sure enough, in strode Beryl McQueen, an imposing woman with cascades of chestnut hair and a neckline to her navel, and her quartet of color-coded cronies.
Cover for me!
Bunny yelled as she knelt down and crawled beneath the table.
What are you doing down there?
Ray asked her.
I've got to let the principal know that awful woman is here. He did tell us to be on the lookout for any unsavory types.
I think he meant kids from gangs and stuff, Ray hissed under the table.
Don't bother him. Tell Zelgadis.
But Amy's words fell on deaf ears. Bunny had already located Mr. Grouchera.
Subaru, I'd like you to meet a dear friend of mine, Detective Leon Orcott.
Dear? Hey, we're not that close. What are you doing here anyway? Kind of far from Chinatown for you, the man snorted.
Subaru looked up from his new friend, Count D, to the lanky blonde-haired officer.
Nice to meet you, Detective. Are you here for the show?
Nah, I'm on duty. Chief McGuinn says there's bound to be trouble here today, but I don't see it.
Oh, I see a suspicious-looking man, Count D began.
Where? Where?
With the black hair.
Who? You don't mean the guy sitting next to the ticket booth, do ya? That's Detective Leitner!
Orcott narrowed his eyes at the Count.
You knew that, didn't you? You were just trying to get rid of me. Why? You got some drug deal going down here? Meeting smugglers? Rare animal handlers?
Count D has been very kind to bring me here today, so I could watch my friend's performance,
Subaru said in D's defense.
You may join us, if you want.
Orcott rolled his eyes. Two of them! Two effeminate weirdos who talked like they were in some kind of martial arts movie. And this new one with the sad green eyes and empty movements, he acted like someone who'd been witness to a terrible crime, listless and hiding, like the kids he'd seen in abuse trials. He wasn't so sure if he liked his number one suspect hanging around this mystery kid.
Save me a seat. I'll be back, the detective ordered D and ran off.
Does he bother you with false accusations all the time?
Yes, but he is harmless and fun, at times.
Count D smiled and bit into the richly iced brownie he had just bought. This time, Philia and Val had more central roles to play as the Dragons of Destiny. It took both Gowrie and Zellos to assist Val into his wings and guide him to his place on the stage. He wasn't in the first scene, but he had to be in position behind the first scene's backdrop in order to speed the transition to scene two.
It's nice to see them working together.
Who? Oh, Zellos and Gowrie, you mean? Yeah, as long as Lena's not involved, they're fine. But she just brings out the worst in them, Zell sighed.
And the best, too. Maybe they can all get married someday and share her.
Zell looked at Amelia as if she had sprouted a horn right in the middle of her forehead. It was an odd expression, causing Amelia to burst into laughter.
I was kidding, Zelgadis.
He closed his mouth and blushed faintly.
I knew that.
When they were interrupted by Sylphiel.
Amelia, some cute guys brought you a treat. Back at the door, she giggled.
I wonder who?
Amelia smiled and skipped off in search of the mystery boy. Zell's piercing gaze penetrated the bodies,
focusing to a point at the door. Slim and short in stature, long reddish braid, duo with his trusty, morose sidekick Hero. Sender of mushy valentines 2 years in a row, he decided to move closer to listen in, just in case there was some kind of trouble. "Hi, Amelia. Yeah, you guys are amazing. The music is so cool. The sets, the story's really gripping and funny. I didn't think something Lena would write would have so much romance in it, though. I mean, especially for her."
"Thank you, Duo. I think Mr. Zelos and Mr. Gowrie are having some fun with the audience. Ooh, is that for me?"
Yeah, we weren't sure if you got anything to eat," he said through a grin, shielding his lilac-colored eyes with his thick, long bangs.
"He bought these this morning," Hero clarified, "whether or not you needed to eat them."
Amelia set the plate of pastries to the side and gave Duo a big Amelia family-style hug.
"Thank you again for thinking of me. I just love raspberry-filled Danish."
"She does?"
Zell wondered, as he watched through narrowed eyes. With a smirky smile, he mused on. "I know for a fact that she prefers lemon." He paid closer attention to what else was unfolding. Zell was deeply pleased to note that both of them were still far shorter than him. Merely boys in comparison. Hero was talking again, urging his friend to action.
"Go ahead. She has to go back on stage soon."
Amelia had freed Duo from her clutches, allowing him to gasp for air.
Whew. Would you like to go to a movie or something after this? Next week?"
Without a moment of consideration, she replied,
"Yeah, that sounds fun. Call me tomorrow. My number's in the school directory, okay? So, were you selling tickets earlier?"
Zell shook his head.
"What? She said yes?" Well, he guessed that meant they weren't boyfriend and girlfriend after all. He wasn't sure if he was relieved or disturbed. It took some action on his part to proclaim exclusivity, he concluded. If that's what he wanted, of course. If she wanted that. Who could know? She seemed to want to go out with a guy. Duo. Since she hadn't wasted a second pondering her answer. No struggling with any deep-seated emotional ties for her. On the other hand, he had her private cell phone number, and Duo would have to go through the mayor's switchboard to talk to her. Heh heh.
"Yeah, and it was completely sold out. I bet we could fill it all over again if you wanted to do it,"
Duo said brightly, now that he had the ordeal of asking her out of the way.
"It does seem a shame to just throw all these sets away after today," Amelia said wistfully. So, Hero, are your other friends from GW Tech here too?"
"Yes," he nodded curtly. "Troa reported that they had spotted an Oz military training truck parked off the main road. Katra and Rufay are canvassing the area for signs of any students or instructors."
At the word Oz, Zell had nabbed Zelos and dragged him over to the three kids by the door. Amelia heard Zelos laughing and turned their way.
"Oh, good! Zell got us, Mr. Zelos! I don't see Miss Lena, but you should all hear this, too!"
Zelos became serious when Hero directed a question his way.
"You are aware of what Oz is, correct?"
Zelos nodded slowly.
"Yes. It began as an administrative division of one of Zelos's syndicate operations, and then became a training camp for recruits masquerading as a military-type school for hard-to-handle kids," he explained to the others.
"I get it! Offspring of Zelos! O-Z!" Amelia said aloud.
"Shh!" Zelos smacked his hand over her mouth. "It's a secret. Okay, okay?"
She nodded and his hand dropped.
"Zex is sitting midway backstage left side. Flowing white hair catches my eye."
Zelos smiled in a confident manner.
"I thought it was flowing red," Zell muttered to his best friend. "That too."
Zelos smiled.
We will keep watch, Hiro assured him. I will trade seats and get closer, now that the lights are up.
Zelgadas followed both boys out to sneak a peek at the audience.
Damn, he growled under his breath.
What is it?
He nearly jumped out of his skin at the feeling of a cool hand on his and the warm body attached to it pressed up to his side.
You see something bad?
Amelia asked. Not good, he gasped as he got his wits back.
Tiba's milling around in the center aisle with a horde of shadowy figures I don't recognize.
Oh no,
she said with dismay.
Should I go tell Miss Lena?
No, don't bother her. She doesn't need any more distractions now. I'll let Rodimus know. He'll keep an eye on them.
He was gratified by her look of admiration.
You realize I know I'm safe because of you, not Rodimus, she said.
Excuse me, Zelgadas?
Zell turned regretfully from this promising conversation with Amelia to face a far less interesting one, he supposed, with Grouchera.
What?
He asked in an icy tone. Amelia looked from one man to the other. Zell was slightly shorter and thinner, but they were very similar in build and face shapes. Japanese heritage showing through, she guessed. Had Zelgadas's hair been normal, it might have looked like Mr. Grouchera's, but... She sighed. Those matching eyes were the giveaway. Deep, pure cerulean green. A family trait. The principal's eyes, however, reflected his current emotional state, which was a combination of confusion and excitation bordering on delirium, or so Amelia thought.
An excitable young lady working at the refreshment stand just informed me that some dangerous woman, Barry McSomething, is here. Mean anything to you? Sorry to bother you like this. Usually Miss Cher is around to ask.
Zelos is the one you want. He's familiar with all the lowlife.
By name, anyway. Hey, Zelos!
Zell called out.
Yes, you. No, the other goofball named Zelos.
I have so much to do,
Zelos said breathlessly. Grouchera related what Bunny had told him.
Beryl McQueen, I didn't think we'd be a rich bitch attraction. Gods, who's next? And yes, Zelgadas, she is a syndicate underling. Oh, there's Lena. I gotta catch her before she goes on stage. Ta-da!
That's Philia you have to catch. Don't forget, Zell said in jest, referring to an upcoming scene with can't-miss timing.
Noticing that the other man was still standing close by annoyed him. He turned to the principal and snapped irritably.
Anything else?
Have a minute?
Zell checked his watch.
Just. I don't think we've gotten off to such a good start, you and I, seeing as we are family and all. I just found out about it before the show. Lena told me. Thought I knew, I guess.
Daniel smiled nervously. Considering how I learned about the rest of my family, this is as good a start as any.
Zell folded his arms across his chest, protectively.
2 years ago, all I had was a surly grandfather. Now I have an alive, crotchety father, a couple of living uncles, one certifiable and my stepbrother, too, and the other, well, that's where you fit in, right? Let's see. Then I have a dead mother, a dead stepmother, a long-dead, crazy, homicidal grandfather. So what's one more bloody, bloodthirsty relation?
I see what you mean. You have a father. You've met him?
I once even lived with him. Professor Rezzo Greywards, chemistry department. Used to be my grandfather. Don't ask. The Red Priest, the guy who blew up Syrog, now he was my actual grandfather.
Daniel's eyes widened.
Oh?
What now?
Then that story in the musical. It was real?
Substitute the syndicate for the monsters and it's close. But you know all this.
No, I don't. I had no idea. You really did knock off Gavin Fabrizio.
Zell decided that as long as he was signing his own death warrant, a verbal agreement in this case, then he might as well sign with a flourish.
And Zelus and Darkstar and Kenzel and Gretel, too. All right, that was a joke. Mazenda, that leaves just you and some anti-deep-sea mammal.
Me? Oh, deep-sea dolphin, you mean? Not her. She's in a sanatorium. Harmless old thing, really. And me, well, haven't we just met?
It's easier that way. Believe me, putting away someone you know well is much more painful. Time's up.
Zell strapped on his sword and marched onto the stage. Lena matched his stride.
Ready?
Yeah,
you?
You betcha.
She gave her best bud a wink. Moments before, Lena had been busy talking to her friend Tasky from the Suzaku 7. The two bands had spent time in August on the road together playing a few gigs, but Tasky had known Lena way back when she was the toughest kid on the block and the youngest.
I gotta tell you, Chirico spotted the guy first coming in, but then Nuriko said he could see him getting a drink and talking on his cell phone in the lobby.
Yeah? And who'd you say this bad dude was?
Nakago?
Lena asked.
Tall, blonde dude. Really works the babes. If he's here, then so's his minions, and, well, Zelos will know him.
I'll bet. His band played some dirty tricks on us, leaving the equipment at the place we were playing at in bad condition and making it look like it was our fault. But worse than that, they're bad news all round. Just telling you not to worry. We got him covered. We won't mess up your musical. You got my word on it.
He cracked his knuckles, for more than just effect.
Lena slapped him on the back. Thanks, Tasky. I bet you will, and I'm counting on you, too. Ah, there's Zelos. I'll pass that name by him.
Oh, yes, Zelos recognized the name.
Syndicate, he spat. Zex is here, too, and our principal, oddly enough, just passed me the news that Beryl McQueen has made her entrance as well.
Who?
Zelos smiled.
More trash. I'm calling our crew, he said in a lowered voice.
Speaking into his cell phone, he continued.
Hello, Zulf. We have a cleanup on aisle 12 and in the lobby. Zex, McQueen, and Nakago. You know? Dandy. Carry on then, my good man. My mind is set to rest knowing you are on duty.
Yeah, well, bye.
He smiled down at Lena.
Nothing to worry about. Security is on the job.
To tell you the truth, I trust us more to keep us safe, you know?
Certainly, but today? Soon the bad guys will be playing with their gloves off, and even those amplifiers and that pendant won't protect you, I'm afraid.
I didn't mean these things anyway. I meant you and Zell and Gowrie and Val, you know.
Yes, those to whom life is meaningless without you.
Lena smiled and punched him.
You betcha. Come on, Goofus, let's go.
You're late, Martina chastised them all.
Majestically, Lena swept past her, declaring, I am never late. I set the time. Amelia, Silphiel, and Gowrie joined Zelgadis and Lena on stage behind the curtain. Behind them was a painted village. They pulled up at a small table and waited. The background music climaxed, and the curtain rose on. Act 4. The Battlefield Expands. Scene 1. Martina stepped to their table, tablet in hand.
Can I take your orders?
I'll have one of everything, Lena shouted, and make it snappy.
Martina's expression turned sour.
Higgs.
Everything. Got it. And you?
Me too, Gowrie agreed. Two of everything.
He waved two fingers in the air for Martina to see.
What a waste of manhood.
Two. One, two. I get it. And you?
Martina looked down her nose at Amelia's cheerful countenance.
I'll have the same.
Amelia said with enthusiasm. Naturally, Martina nodded curtly. Little copycat. And stared at the next line.
Salad, and would you put the dressing on the side? Or, just sprinkle some vinegar on it. And a glass of water,
Sylphiel added. Sprinkle of vinegar. Philia broke her pencil in her fingers.
I'm watching my weight, Sylphiel said with a concerned look. Are croutons rich?
Martina grumbled under her breath. Soaked in butter, fat, fat, fat. Then aloud answered, no. And turned to Zelgadas. And you, sir?
Tea.
Tea? Just tea? Martina's eyebrow twitched.
Yes, tea. Plain, Zell clarified.
The audience was filled with kids who were witnesses of Lena's gang's lunchtime antics. This was a reality they could vouch for. They snickered. Fine! Martina stomped off in a huff, nose in the air.
Poor Miss Martina, Amelia sighed. Her castle and everything destroyed and now reduced to waiting tables. Although she looks very nice in that outfit, don't you think?
Yeah, well, she should be happy my sister got her this job here. Hey, it wasn't my fault her castle was in Gov's territory when we took him out. She should blame that little Fabrizio creep. But Lena's excuses would have to go largely unsaid when a beautiful, tall, blonde girl approached them. Which one of you is the most powerful sorceress in the world? Lena looked up. Who's asking? Philia pulled up an empty chair. My name is Philia Ulkopt. I was told I could find the person I needed at this restaurant. Well, it could be me, depending on what the deal is. Philia stood and burst into song, explaining that she was a representative from the dragon community with a strange prophecy to fulfill. Gather the 5 weapons of power and return them to the Stargate before it's too late. Don't leave it to fate. Yeah? So these weapons you mentioned, how do we find them? And are they valuable? Lena asked as the song ended. They will have the mark of the gods on their handles, Philia told them, like the decoration on my pendant. She showed them all the heavy metal bauble hanging from a chain around her neck. There were a few gasps from select audience members who had never expected such an overt flaunting of power. Zelgadas drew his sword. Look at this. Gowri, show her yours.
They both have that symbol imprinted on the hilts, Amelia exclaimed. What does that mean?
Sylphiel asked. It means we only got to find 3 more. Then what do we do with them?
Take them to my elders at our greatest shrine, and we can unlock the secret of the prophecy.
And what's in it for me? Lena pounded the table with a fist. This sent the audience into fits of giggles and snickers. Lena had captured her own character quite convincingly.
Well, Philia began to answer, when Martina returned, juggling armloads of plates and bowls.
They didn't need to pretend to eat. Martina actually served them real food. Lena, Gowri, and Amelia dug in with their usual gusto. There was a small tussle over a spare rib, and Amelia and Lena traded off stealing one another's rolls.
Looks like the lunchroom all over again, one person shouted out.
Yeah, all that's missing is bloodshed, someone else in the audience added amid snickers.
Come on, we have to hurry, Philia begged, then demanded, stomping her foot.
Now! Now? I haven't even started the soup, Lena said offhandedly. Philia jumped up, knocking her chair over in the process, lifted the huge, but actually empty, punch bowl-sized tureen, and pretended to quaff it back in a few colossal gulps.
Laughter shook the theater hall. Who would have thought the snooty cheerleader would make fun of herself like that.
All right, she shouted as she smashed the empty bowl to the floor. Done. Now go. The elders will pay you handsomely for successfully completing the prophecy if
We get there before it's too late.
Too late?
Sylphiel was quizzical.
You just got here.
That's right, Amelia joined in. It isn't healthy to exert yourself on a full stomach.
What?
Phileas swirled around and stomped her foot, then keeled over, eyes closed. But before she hit the floor, Zelos appeared from behind a backdrop and caught her in his arms. This had been practiced to perfection. Phileas had warned Zelos that if he failed to catch her once, he would die a long and painful death at her hands. He never missed his cue.
My, but you are a heavy girl. Did I miss something?
Zell shook his head, stood, and sheathed his sword.
Not a beat. We were just leaving. Enjoy your lunch.
As the actors walked off stage, Zelos, bearing Phileas admirably without staggering, Lee and Luke whisked away the props surreptitiously to the opposite side. The music became dark and dramatic. The lighting altered. The backdrop rose on a set, which now simulated a cavern with shiny, luminous paint, giving the effect of moisture on hanging stalactites. Val, wings extended, looked positively, marvelously evil. Outside the rear of the building, a big man, perspiring heavily and dressed with a hint of the gypsy or actor about him, was pushing a large crate toward the rear stage door.
The musical is in progress. No admittance.
Oh, that's okay. No problem. I'm their director, just delivering some props.
Rodimus stepped in front of the door.
They have no director.
Then, on closer inspection, he realized who the man was.
Mr. Rosberg?
Yes. You see, that fiery little redhead wanted a few of these for her own play. I think they'll work best in the finale.
Okay, Rodimus, open the door. Just shove it in and take this pass. Seats on the house. Why, thank you, my good man. Thank you very much.
Scene 2. Meanwhile, Val was finishing his tortured solo from his cave-like set. At his feet were Gilles and Gravos. They were dressed like a couple of gypsies, because Zelgadis and Lena had acquired 2 costumes for free at the costumers going out of business sale, and they fit.
Boss, they're here, Gravos said.
Val looked over at him, frowning.
Who? The guys who killed Lord Gov, sir. They're climbing up the mountain. They might find the way down into here.
They might want this. Val hefted the mighty pike-like weapon in his fist and stabbed at a loose set piece, bringing down a crumble of fake rock. And they're looking for the one hidden in this place.
They have the other holy weapons with them?
Oh, yes, boss. At least, I saw 2 swords.
Gilles assured him.
But if we couldn't get past the guardian to get that holy weapon, boss, they can't, I'm sure.
But if they can, then all we do is kill 'em all and that treasure is ours.
All of 'em but one. I must go meet the human creatures that destroyed my Lord Gov and make 'em pay, Val growled.
They exited the stage amid stormy music and a lighting change, slightly lighter to enhance the foreground, as Lena and company entered from the other side. Phileas was chastising Zelos.
Never, ever touch me again, you piece of raw monster garbage!
You can bet on it. Next time I'll let you fall. Knock some sense into that tiny dragon brain of yours.
Zelos topped it off by sticking his tongue out at her.
Oh!
She screamed. Lee pushed an over 15-pound mace from under a hollow rock prop to under Phileas's skirt, and then crawled, unseen, off the stage.
Take this!
Phileas shrieked as she swung the mace through the air at Zelos's head. Had it connected, it would have knocked his head off. Thankfully, they had practiced the routine so many times that as long as his attention didn't waver a microsecond and his quick reflexes remained perfectly intact, he would survive her attack.
One of her swings circled a little too close to Zelgadas for him to ignore it. Cut that out! Now you are leading us here, so which way do we go? Zelgadas asked Philia. Left or right? And remind me, you are certain we'll find the last two weapons here?
Philia hid away the mace, gripped her pendant, and hummed some tune, trance-like.
Straight ahead! Oh!
And the lights went up as the curtain fell in preparation for the next scene. This set was very simple. An enormous wood square piece of plywood with a 4x4 foot square cutout of the center was painted to look like stone. The opening was replaced for the start of the scene, and the entire structure was centered on the stage, with the secondary curtain split down on both sides. Bobby hit the lights, leaving only the exits illuminated. The audience was in the dark, and 12 fog machines were filling the room with a thin mist within seconds. When the main curtain rose, what the crowd saw was nothing. It was dark. They could hear voices. Scene 3.
Down there!
That tiny hole?
Well, a few rocks have to be moved.
There was a terrible fingernails on the chalkboard scraping sound, and the cover in the opening was laboriously pushed to the side. At least it sounded that way.
Mr. Zelgadas, that's far enough. If you use too much magic power to move the rocks, the whole place might cave in.
Don't worry, Amelia.
What we need now is a lighting spell, Lena said.
And then brilliant backlighting flicked on. The light rays were reflected by the mist particles, so that to each person in the room it appeared that the rays were headed directly at them, as lights on a car in a thin fog piercing the darkness ahead. The result was feeling as if you were sitting in your seat in the theater at the bottom of a hole. The audience let out a collective, "Ah!"
Where does it go?
Lena peered into the cavity in the cave floor. Her face could be seen looking down the opening as she stood behind the structure. The effect was very realistic. One by one, each of the others looked into the hole.
I don't know, but what we're looking for, it's there, Philia replied.
I think it's in the other direction,
Zelos put in, just to make trouble.
Then you go that way, Lena growled. This is Philia's prophecy.
How do we get down? I can't fly.
I brought a rope. You can climb down.
Oh, that is a problem. If I transform into my dragon form, I'll be too large to fit.
I suggest you tie a rope to her and then climb down.
Zelos smiled and dashed out of the path of Philia's swinging mace.
You!
Or at least that is what the audience could imagine, as the sound of her screaming and thundering feet was all that could be heard.
That's it, Lena shouted. Zell, help me fly Gowrie down. Amelia and Silphiel can take care of Philia.
A combination of fog and darkness contributed to the successful illusion working. They did seem to float down the hole. The backlights dimmed as they moved away from the opening, until the opening was replaced invisibly with another object completely. One of the set design features had included embedding a huge video screen into the opening, now a cave wall. It came to life. Zelgadas was particularly pleased with how the effect came out in the end. He had convinced Milgazia one afternoon to drape himself in a pale-colored concealing hood and recite a few lines while Kiki recorded him. Zelos messed with the image later to give it a mystical appearance, and it now played out on the wall.
"It's the Extreme Elder!"
Philia cried out, messing up her line. She should have called him the Supreme Elder.
"Looking eerily eldritch,"
Zelos muttered, just to play on her little error in a way that would annoy her. He continued,
"elaborately lacking in elan due to elusive electro-convulsive treatments.
That's my eloquent and elevating elegy.
I don't think he's real, Lena deduced.
That's just what I said, Zelos whined, ignored by everybody.
Zelgadas knew an illusion when he saw one, too. He moved off to the side to examine an interesting artifact. At this point, the Milgazia Elder apparition gave a brief retelling of the massacre of the ancient race of dragons that had once filled the caverns, revealing how Philia's people were ultimately responsible. Philia was beside herself with despair at this news.
If only I hadn't this terrible journey to complete, I would leave my shrine for good.
So dispirited she was that even Gilas, observing from the side, was moved.
Hey, it wasn't you that did nothing. Say, I know where another of those marked things is, and maybe a guy with it can help you, just like he helped me when I was down.
This pitched Philia into another song, which grew into a duet with Gilas, reminding her to buck up and make the world a better place, and not fold in their time of need. Philia replying that that was just what she intended to do, as soon as he stopped staring at her breasts.
Look at this.
Zelgadas raised a dangerous-looking crossbow-like weapon to his shoulder.
Can you find a marking?
Both Lena and Zelos were close at hand.
Yes! Imprinted here! Lena crowed. This one's mine!
And ripped it away from her friend.
I think it should be mine,
Zelos said as he struck her down and took the bow.
But it's mine!
Bellowed a rough voice from the shadows, and Val made his appearance once again.
Who are you?
Lena asked, as she regained her feet.
Not that it matters, 'cause we got here first and say it's ours. Anyway, it looks like you got your hands full with your own weapon.
I'm Val'Gav, once an ancient dragon, but reborn anew as the servant of Lord Gav.
Yeah, I see you know the name, murderers.
Another monster!
Sylphiel shrieked.
Another?
Val's hooded eyes slipped over the group, landing on Zelos.
You should go. Leave the weapon of the ancients and go.
I'm afraid I can't do that. You see, I have one of the set, too.
He twirled his staff as an example.
And if I am not mistaken, you are carrying one of your own. It appears all 5 prophesied keys to the puzzle are gathered. No, Val'Gav, I think I'll stick around now that things are getting interesting.
Everyone was assembled for another of one of the bigger song and dance routines. Symbolically, it was a fight between the monsters over supremacy, with the humans and the one pure dragon getting the bad side of magic. Philia tried to convince Val'Gav to turn from the dark side. Lena couldn't resist this nod to one of her favorite movies. And together see the prophecy through to its end and make dragonkind stronger. As the tempo escalated, so did the pyrotechnics. It ended dramatically with one of Val's signature howls as he and Zelos fought in earnest. Lena and company made their escape with the weapons, accepting Zelos' staff, while the monsters were otherwise occupied, working very hard not to really do one another harm while dodging sprays of sparks. If anything interesting was going on in the theater hall, Lena and the other slayers couldn't have known or heard, such was their overpowering cacophony of music and sound effects. The audience was so in awe of the spectacle, they nearly forgot to applaud when the lights all went out. The stage went dark.
"Where are we?"
Amelia asked.
"It's so dark!"
"The astral plane is my guess," Lena answered her.
"Bingo!"
"Zelos, are you behind this? Stop it at once! Send us back now!"
And the lights went up on,